Tranio, since for the great desire I had to see fair Padua, nursery of arts, I am arrived for fruitful Lombardy, the pleasant garden of great Italy. And by my father's love and leave, am armed with his good will and thy good company, my trusty servant, well approved in all. Here let us breathe, and haply institute a course of learning and ingenious studies.
Meet Perdonato, gentle master mine. I am in all affected as yourself, glad that you thus continue your resolve to suck the sweets of sweet philosophy. Only, good master, while we do admire this virtue and this moral discipline, let's be no stoics nor no stocks, I pray.
Oh, grandmercies, Tranio, well dost thou advise. We will at once put us in readiness and take a lodging fit to entertain such friends as time in Padua shall beget. But stay a while, what company is this?
Master, some show to welcome us to town?
Signor Clemio, Signor Atencio, gentlemen, importune me no farther. For how I firmly am resolved, you know. That is, not to bestow my youngest daughter before I have a husband for the elder.
Oh, but
if either of you both love Katharina, because I know you well and love you well, leave shall you have to court her at your pleasure?
To cart her, rather. She is too rough for me. There, Hortensio. Will you... any wife?
I pray you, sir, is it your will to make a stale of me amongst these mates?
Mates? Maid, how mean you that? No mates for you, unless you were a gentler, milder mode.
Hortensio, you shall never need to fear. You wish it is not halfway to her heart. But if it were, doubt not her care should be to comb your noddle with a three-legged stool and paint your face and use you like a fool.
Now, from all such devils, good Lord, deliver us.
Me too, good Lord.
That wench is stark mad. Or wonderful froward.
But in the other's silence do I see maid's mild behaviour and sobriety.
Yeah, but she's
Tranio.
Well said, master. Mum, and gaze your fill.
Gentlemen, that I may soon make good what I have said. Bianca, get you in. And let it not displease thee, good Bianca, for I will love thee nevertheless, my girl.
Your pretty peach, it is best put finger in the eye and you know why.
Sister, content you in my discontent. Sir, to your pleasure, humbly I subscribe. My books and instruments shall be my company. On them to look and practice by myself.
Oh, Signor Baptista, will you be so strange? Sorry am I that our good will affects Bianca's grief.
Why will you mew her up, Signor Baptista, for this fiend of hell, and make her bear the penance of her tongue?
Gentlemen, content ye. I am resolved. Go in, Bianca.
Oh.
And for I know she taketh most delight in music, instruments, and poetry. Schoolmasters will I keep within my house, fit to instruct her youth. If you, Hortensio, or Signor Gremio, you know any such, prefer them hither. For to cunning men I will be very kind and liberal to mine own children in good bringing up. And so, farewell. Katharina, you may stay, for I have more to commune with Bianca.
Why, and I trust I may go too, may I not? What shall I be appointed hours, as though belike I knew not what to take and what to leave, eh?
Yes. Yeah, you may go to the devil's den. Your gifts are so good, here's none will hold you. Well, Hortensio, farewell. For the love I bear my sweet Bianca, if I can by any means light on a fit man to teach her that wherein she delights, I will wish him to her father.
So will I, Signor Gremio, but a word, I pray. Though the nature of our quarrel yet never brook parle, know now, it touches us both to labour and effect one thing specially, that we may yet again have access to our fair mistress and be happy rivals in Bianca's love.
Well, what's that, I pray?
Well, marry's there to get a husband for her sister.
A husband? A devil?
I say a husband.
Well, I say a devil. Thinkst thou, Hortensio, though her father be very rich, any man is so very a fool to be married to hell?
Oh, tush, Gremio, though it pass your patience and mine to endure her loud alarums. Why, man, there be good fellows in the world, and a man could light on them, would take her with all faults and money enough.
Well, I cannot tell, but I had as lief take her dowry with this condition as to be whipped at the High Cross every morning.
Faith, as you say, the small choice in rotten apples, but come... Yeah. Since this bar in law makes us friends, it shall be friendly maintained till, by helping Baptista's eldest daughter to a husband, we set his youngest free for a husband and then have tutor fresh. Sweet Bianca, happy man be his dole. He that runs fastest gets the ring. How say you, Signor Gremio?
I am agreed. and would I had given him the best horse in Padua to begin his wooing that would thoroughly woo her, wed her, and bed her, and rid the house of our... Come on!
I pray, sir, tell me, is it possible that love should of a sudden take such hold?
Oh, Tranio, till I found it to be true, I never thought it possible or likely. But see, while idly I stood looking on, I found the effect of love in idleness. Tranio, I burn, I pine, I perish, Tranio, if I achieve not this young modest girl.
Master, you'd look so longly on the maid, perhaps you've marked not what's the pith of all.
Oh, yes, I saw sweet beauty in her face.
Well, saw you no more? Marked you not how her sister began to scold and raise up such a storm that mortal ears might hardly endure the din?
Tranio, I saw her coral lips to move, and with her breath she did perfume the air. Sacred and sweet was all I saw in her.
Nay, then, 'tis time to stir him from his trance. I pray awake, sir. If you love the maid, bend thoughts and wits to achieve her. Thus it stands. Her elder sister is so cursed and shrewd that till the father rid his hands of her master, your love must live a maid at home. And therefore he has closely mewed her up, because she will not be annoyed with suit.
Oh, Tranio, what a cruel father's he. But art thou not advised he took some care to get her cunning schoolmasters to instruct her?
Aye, marry, I am, sir. And now 'tis blood.
I have it, Tranio.
Master, you will be schoolmaster and undertake the teaching of the maid.
May it be done?
Not possible. For who shall bear your part, and be in Padua here Vincentio's son?
Buster, content thee, for I have it full. Thou shalt be Master Tranio in my stead. Keep house and port and servants as I should. I will some other be, some Florentine, some Neapolitan, or meaner man of Pisa. 'Tis hatched and shall be so. Tranio, at once, uncase thee. Take my coloured hat and cloak.
I am content to be Lucentio, because so well I love Lucentio.
Tranio, be so, because Lucentio love. Tranio, let's go. One thing more, Bess, that thyself executes to make one among these wooers. If thou ask me why, suffice it, my reasons are both good and weighty.
Verona, for a while I take my leave to see my friends in Padua, but of all my best beloved and approved friend Hortensio, and I trow this is his house. Here, Sir Grumio. Knock, I say.
Knock, sir? Whom should I knock? Is there any man has refused your word?
Villain, I say, knock me here soundly.
Knock you here, sir? Why, sir, what am I, sir, that I should knock you here, sir?
Villain, I say, knock me at this gate and wrap me well, or I'll knock your knave's pate.
I should knock you first, then I know after who comes by the worst.
Will it not be, faith, sir, and you'll not knock, I'll ring it. I'll see how you can fall far.
Ow!
Oh, no.
Well, Marcus, help me, Marcus!
No, knock when I bid you, sir, a villain!
Well, now, my good friend Grumio, my old friend Petruchio.
Well, Hortensio, I've got the rascal. Knock me at your gate.
Knock at the gate? Oh, heaven spike, you're not these words. Plain sitter, knock me here, rap me here, knock me well and rap me soundly. Come you now, we're knocking at the gate.
Man, begone or talk not.
Grumio, patience, I am Grumio's pledge, your ancient, trusty, pleasant servant, Grumio.
And tell me now, sweet friend, what abbey gale blows you to Padua here from old Verona?
Such wind as scatters young men through the world to seek their fortunes further than at home, where small experience grows. Mm-hmm. But in a few, Signor Hortensio, thus it stands with me. Antonio, my father, is deceased.
Ah.
And I have thrust myself into this maze, happily to wive and thrive as best I may. Crowns in my purse I have, and goods at home, and so I'm come abroad to see the world.
Petruchio, shall I then come roundly to thee and wish thee to a shrewd, ill-favoured wife? Thou hast thanked me but a little for my counsel, and yet I'll promise thee she shall be rich.
Eh?
I'm very rich. But thou art too much my friend, and I don't wish thee to hurt.
Signor Hortensio, twixt such friends as we, few words suffice. Therefore, if you know one rich enough to be Petruchio's wife, as wealth is burden of my wooing dance, be she as foul as was Florentius love, as old as Sibyl, or as cursed and shrewd as Socrates son Thippy, or a worse, she moves not me, or not removes at least affection's edge in me. Was she as rough as are the swelling Adriatic seas? I come to wive it wealthily in Padua. If wealthily, then happily in Padua.
Nay, look here, sir. He tells you flatly what his mind is. Well, give him gold enough and marry him an old trot with not a tooth at her head. But if you have as many diseases as 250 horses, well, nothing comes amiss, some money comes with all.
Petruchio, since we have stepped thus far in, I will continue that I broached in jest. I can, Petruchio, help thee to a wife with wealth enough, and young and beauteous. Brought up as best becomes a gentlewoman. Her only fault
And that is false enough, is that she is intolerable cursed, and shrewd, and froward. So beyond all measure, that were my state far worse than it is, I would not wed her for a mine of gold.
Hortensio, peace, thou knowest not gold's effect. Tell me her father's name, and 'tis enough, for I will board her, though she chide as loud as thunder when the clouds in autumn crack.
Her name is Caterina Minola, renowned in Padua for her scolding tongue.
I will not sleep till I have seen her.
Tarry, Petruchio, I must go with thee. In Baptista's keep, my treasure is. When he had the jewel of my life in hold, his youngest daughter, beautiful Bianca. Therefore, this order hath Baptista tained that none shall have access unto Bianca till Catherine the Cursed have got a husband.
Catherine the Cursed?
A title for a maid of all titles, there you were.
Now shall my friend Petruchio do me grace and offer me, disguised in sober robes to old Baptista, as a schoolmaster. Well seen in music, to instruct Bianca. So that I may by this device at least have leave and leisure to make love to her, and unsuspected court her by myself.
Master, master, look about you, goes there.
Scrumio, it is the rival of my love. God save you, Signor Gremio.
Petruchio,
stand by a while.
And you are well met, Signor Hortensio. Trow you whither I am going? To Baptista Minola. Uh-huh. I promised to inquire carefully about a schoolmaster for the fair Bianca. And by good fortune I have lighted well on this young man. Mm-hmm. For learning and behaviour, fit for her turn, well read in poetry and other books, good ones, I warrant you.
Oh, it is well. And I have met a gentleman hath promised me to help me to another. Oh. A fine musician to instruct our mistress. So shall I no whit be behind in duty to fair Bianca, so beloved of me.
Beloved of me, and that my deed shall prove.
Gremio, it is now no time to vent our love. Listen to me. And if you speak me fair, I'll tell you news indifferent good for either. Here is a gentleman whom by chance I met, upon agreement from us to his liking, will undertake to woo cursed Catherine, yea, and to marry her, if her dowry please.
Well, so said, so done as well. Mm. Hortensio, have you told him all her faults?
I hear she is an irksome, brawling scold. If that be all, masters, I hear no harm.
Oh, sir, such a life with such a wife is strange. But if you have a stomach, to it a God's name. But, will you woo this wildcat?
Will I live? Why came I hither but to that intent? Think you a little din can daunt mine ears? Have I not in my time heard lions roar? Have I not heard the sea puffed up with winds, raised like an angry boar, chafing with sweat? Have I not heard great ordnance in the field, and heaven's artillery thunder in the skies? Have I not in pitched battle heard loud alarums neighing steeds and trumpets clang? And do you tell me of a woman's tongue that gives not half so great a blow to the ear as will a chestnut in a farmer's fire? Tush, tush, fear boys with bucks.
Oh. Hortensio, hark, this gentleman is happily arrived.
Gentlemen, God save you. If I may be bold, tell me, I beseech you, which is the readiest way to the house of Signor Baptista Minola?
Are you a suitor to the maid you talk of? Yea or no?
And if I be, sir, is it any offence?
No. If without more words you will get you hence.
Why, sir, I pray, are not the streets as free for me as for you?
Sir, let me be so bold as to ask you, did you ever yet see Baptista's daughter?
No, sir. But here I do that he hath two. The one as famous for a scolding tongue, as is the other for beauteous modesty.
Sir. First's for me. Oh. Let her go by.
Yea, yea, leave that labour to great Hercules.
Sir, I shall not be slack. In sign we're off. Please ye, we may contrive this afternoon and quaff carouses to our mistress' health. Strive mightily, but eat and drink as friends.
Of all thy suitors, here I charge thee. Tell whom thou lovest best, see thou dissemble not.
Believe me, Kate! Of all the men alive, I never yet beheld that special face which I could fancy more than any other.
Minion, thou liest! Oh! It's not Hortensio.
You affect him, sister. Oh! Here, I swear I'll plead for you myself, and you shall have him.
Oh, then belike you fancy riches more. You will have Gremio to keep you fair.
Is it for him you do envy me so? Nay, then you jest. And now I well perceive you have but jested with me all this while.
If that be jest, then all the rest will so.
Hello, dear. Whence grows this insolence? Bianca, stand aside. Poor girl, she weeps. Go ply thy needle. Meddle not with her. For shame, thou hilding of a devilish spirit. Why dost thou wrong her that did ne'er wrong thee? When did she cross thee with a bitter word?
Her silence flouts me, and I be revenged.
In my sight, Bianca, get thee in.
What? Will you not suffer me? Nay, no, I see. She is your treasure. She must have a husband. I must dance barefoot on her wedding day, and for your love to her lead apes in hell.
Daughter.
Talk not to me. I will go sit and weep till I can find occasion of revenge.
Was ever gentleman thus grieved as I? But who comes here?
Good morrow.
Good morrow, neighbor Baptista.
Good morrow, neighbor Grimio. God save you, gentlemen.
And you, good sir. Pray, have you not a daughter called Katharina? Fair and virtuous.
I have a daughter, sir, called Katharina.
You are too blunt. Go to it orderly.
You're wrong, Messina Grimio. Give me leave. I am a gentleman of Verona, sir, that hearing of her beauty and her wit, her affability and bashful modesty, her wondrous qualities and mild behaviour, am bold to show myself a forward guest into your house, to make mine eye the witness of that report which I so oft have heard. And for an entrance to my entertainment, I do present you with a man of mine,
sir,
cunning in music and the mathematics, to instruct her fully in the sciences, whereof I know she is not ignorant. His name is Licio, born in Mantua.
Welcome, sir, and he for your good sake. But for my daughter Catherine, this I know, she is not for your turn. More my grief.
I see you do not mean to part with her, or else you like not of my company.
Mistake me not, I speak but as I find. Whence are you, sir? What may I call your name?
Petruchio is my name, Antonio.
Oh, I know him well. You are welcome for his sake.
Saving your tale, Petruchio, I pray let us that are poor petitioners speak too. Ricari, you are marvellous forward.
Oh, pardon me, Signor Grimio, I would fain be doing.
I doubt it not, sir, but you will curse your wooing. Well, to express the like kindness myself that have been more kindly beholding to you than any, freely give unto you this young scholar that hath been long studying at Reims, as cunning in Greek, Latin, and, well, other languages as the other in music and mathematics. His name is Cambio, yes. Pray accept the service.
A thousand thanks, Signor Grimio. Welcome, good
Cambio, yes.
But, gentle sir, methinks you walk like a stranger, may be so bold as to know the cause of your coming.
Pardon me, sir, the boldness is mine own, that being a stranger in this city here, do make myself a suitor to your daughter, unto Bianca, fair and virtuous. Lucentio is my name.
Of a wench, I pray.
Of Pisa, sir, son of Vincentio.
A mighty man of Pisa. By report, I know him well. You are very welcome, sir. Hello within. Sir, I'll leave these gentlemen to my daughters and tell them both these are their tutors. Bid them use them well. We will go walk a little in the orchard and then to dinner. You are passing welcome, and so I pray you all to think yourselves.
Signor Baptista, my business asketh haste, and every day I cannot come to woo. You knew my father well, and in him me, left sole heir to all his lands and goods, which I have bettered rather than decreased. Now tell me, if I get your daughter's love, what dowry shall I have with her to wife?
After my death, one half of my lands, and in possession, 20,000 crowns.
And for that dowry, I'll assure her of her widowhood. Be it that she survive me, of all my lands and leases whatsoever. Let specialties be therefore drawn between us.
Aye, when the special thing is well obtained, that is, her love. For that is all in all.
Well, that is nothing. But I tell you, Father, I am as peremptory as she proud-minded. And where two raging fires meet together, they do consume the thing that feeds their fury. Though little fire grows great with little wind, yet extreme gusts will blow out fire and all. So I to her, and so she yields to me. For I am rough, and woo not like a babe.
Well, mayst thou woo, and happy be thy speed. But be thou armed with some unhappy words.
Aye, to the proof, as mountains are for wind.
Oh, Licio! How now, my friend, why dost thou look so pale?
Oh, for fear, I promise you, if I look pale.
What, will my daughter prove a good musician?
She'll soon prove a soldier.
Why then, thou canst not break her to the lute?
Oh, I know, for she hath broke the lute to me. I did but tell her she mistook her frets and bowed her hand to teach her fingering. And with the most impatient, devilish spirit, frets call you these, quoth she, I'll fume with them. And with that word she struck me on the head, and through the instrument my pate made way. And there I stood amazed for a while, as on a pillory, looking through the lute. While she did call me rascal fiddler and twangling jack.
Now, by the word, it is a lusty wench. I love her 10 times more than ere I did. Oh, how I long to have some chat with her.
Signor Petruchio, will you go with us? Or shall I send my daughter Kate to you?
I pray you do. I will attend her here. And woo her with some spirit when she comes. Say that she rails. Why, then I'll tell her plain she sings as sweetly as a nightingale. Say that she frowns. I'll say she looks as clear as morning roses newly washed with dew. If she be mute and will not speak a word, then I'll commend her volubility and say she uttereth piercing eloquence. If she do bid me pack, I'll give her thanks as though she bade me stay by her a week. If she deny to wed, I'll pray the day when I shall ask the banns and when be married. But here she comes, and now Petruchio speak. Morrow, Kate. Well, that's your name, I hear.
Well, have you heard? But something hard of hearing. They call me Catherine, that you talk of me.
You lie, Faith, for you are called plain Kate. Bonnie Kate. And sometimes Kate the Cursed. But Kate, the prettiest Kate in Christendom, Kate of Kate Hall, my super dainty Kate, for dainties are all Kates, and therefore Kate. Take this of me, Kate of my consolation. Hearing thy mildness praised in every town, thy virtue spoke of and thy beauty sounded, yet not so deeply as to thee belongs. Myself am moved to woo thee for my wife.
Moved? In good time. Let him that moved you hither remove you hence. I knew you at the first, you were immovable.
Why, what's immovable?
A joinstone.
Hit it, come, sit on me.
Asses are made to bear, and so are you.
Women are made to bear, and so are you.
No such jade as you, if me you mean.
Alas, good Kate, I will not burden thee, for knowing thee to be but young and light.
Too light a faith for such a swain as you to catch, and yet as heavy as my weight should be.
Come, you waspy faith, you are too angry.
If I be waspish, best beware my sting.
My remedy then is to pluck it out.
Aye, if the fool could find it where it lies.
Who knows not what a wasp does where his sting in his tail?
In his tongue.
Whose tongue?
Yours, if you talk of tails, and so farewell.
But with my tongue in your tail. Nay, good Kate, I am a gentleman. I swear I'll cuff you if you strike again.
So may you lose your arms. If you strike me, you are no gentleman, and if no gentleman, why then no arms.
The Herald, Kate, put me in thy books.
What is your crest, a coxcomb?
A combless cock, so Kate will be my head.
No cock of mine, you crow too like a craven.
Nay, come, Kate, come, you must not look so sour.
It is my fashion when I see a crab.
No, by St. George, I am too young for you.
Yet you are withered.
Tis with care.
I care not.
May hear you, Kate. Insult you, state not so.
I chafe you if I tarry. Let me go!
No, not a whit. I find you passing gentle. Just tell me you were rough and coy and sullen, but I find report a very liar, for thou art pleasant, gamesome, passing courteous, but slow in speech. Why does the world report that Kate doth limp? Oh, slanderous world. Did ever Dian so become a grove as Kate this chamber with her princely gait? Or be thou Dian, and let her be Kate, then let Kate be chaste and Dian sportful.
Where did you study all this goodly speech?
It is extempore from my mother wit.
Ah, witty mother, witless else her son.
Am I not wise?
Yes, keep you warm.
Marry, so I mean, sweet Catherine, in thy bed. Therefore, laying all this chat aside, thus in plain terms. Your father has consented that you shall be my wife. Your dowry agreed on, and will you nill you, I will marry you. Now, Kate, I am a husband for your turn. For by this light whereby I see thy beauty that doth make me like thee, well, thou must be married to no man but me. For I am he, am born to tame you, Kate, and bring you from a wild Kate to a Kate conformable as other household Kates. Here comes your father. Hey, never make denial. I must and will have Catherine to my wife.
Now, Signor Petruchio, how speed you with my daughter?
How but well, sir, how but well. It were impossible I should speed of this.
Why, how now, daughter Catherine, in your dumps?
Oh, daughter. Now, I promise you, you have showed a tender, fatherly regard to wish me wed to one half lunatic, a madcap ruffian, and a swearing jack that thinks with oaths to face the matter out.
Father, it is thus. Yourself and all the world that talked of her have talked amiss of her. If she be cursed, it is for policy, for she is not flowered, but modest as the dove. She is not hot, but temperate as the morn. And to conclude, we have agreed so well together that upon Sunday is the wedding
day. I'll see thee hanged on Sunday first.
I tell you, 'tis incredible to believe how much she loves me. Oh, the kindest Kate. She hung about my neck, and kiss on kiss she vied so fast, protesting oath on oath that in a twink she won me to her love. Oh, you are novices.
'Tis a world to see how tame when men and women are alone. A meek cockroach can make the curses shrew. Give me a hand! Oh! I run to Venice to buy a cradle against the wedding day. Provide the feast father and bid the guests, and we'll be sure my Catherine will be fine.
I do not want to say.
Yes, yes.
Oh, give me your hands. God send you joy, Petruchio. 'Tis a match.
How many say we will be witnesses?
Father! As wife and gentlemen adieu. I will to Venice. Sunday comes apace. We will have rings and things and fine array. And kiss me, Kate. We will be married on Sunday.
Oh, yes. Well, but now, Baptista, to your younger daughter. I, Gremio, am your neighbour and was suitor first.
But I, Lucentio, love Bianca more than words can witness or your thoughts can guess.
Youngling, thou canst not love so dear as I.
Greybeard, thy love doth freeze.
But thine doth fry. Skipper, stand back. 'Tis age that nourisheth.
But youth in ladies' eyes that
nourisheth. Content you, gentlemen. I will compound this strife. 'Tis deeds must win the prize.
Sir, list to me. I am my father's heir and only son. If I may have your daughter...
Pardon me, if you should die before him, where's her dower?
That's but a cavil. He is old, I young.
And may not young men die as well as old?
Well, gentlemen, I am thus resolved. On Sunday next, you know, my daughter Catherine is to be married.
On the Sunday...
Signor Lucentio, this is the appointed day that Catherine and Petruchio should be married, yet we hear not of our son-in-law. What will be said, what mockery will it be, to want the bridegroom when the priest attends to speak the ceremonial rites of marriage? What says Lucentio to this shame of ours?
No shame but mine. I must forsooth be forced to give my hand opposed against my heart unto a mad-brained Rudesby, full of spleen, who wooed in haste and means to wed at leisure. I told you he was a frantic fool, hiding his bitter jests in blunt behaviour. And to be noted for a merry man, he'll woo a thousand, point the day of marriage, make feast, invite friends, and proclaim the banns, yet never means to wed where he hath wooed. Now must the world point at poor Catherine and say, lo, there is mad Petruchio's wife. If it would please him, come and marry her.
Patience, good Catherine, and Baptista too. Upon my life, Petruchio means but well. Whatever fortune stays him from his word. Though he be blunt, I know him passing wise. Though he be merry, yet with all he's honest.
Would Catherine had never seen him, though!
Girl, girl, I cannot blame thee now to weep, for such an injury would vex a saint. Much more a shrew of thy impatient humour.
Master! Master! News! News! New news, old news, and such news as you never heard of.
Is it new and old, too, Biondello? How may that be?
Why, is it not news to hear of Petruchio's coming?
Is he come?
Why, no, sir.
What then?
He is coming.
When will he be here?
When he stands where I am and see Hugh there.
But say, what to thine old news?
Oh, Petruchio, he's coming in a new hat and an old jerkin. A pair of old breeches thrice turned, a pair of boots that have been candle cases, one buckled, another laced. An old rusty sword taken out of the town armoury with a broken hilt and chapeless, with two broken points. His horse, hipped with an old mothy saddle and stirrups of no kindred, besides, possessed with the glanders, and like to mose in the chine. Trouble with the lampus, infected with the fashions, full of wind gore, sped with spavins, rayed with the yellows, past cure of the fives, stark spoiled with the staggers, benorn with the bots, swayed in the back and shoulder shot and near licked before, and with a half-cheek bit, and headstall of sheep's leather, which, being restrained to keep it from stumbling, hath been often burst, a new repair with knots, one girth, six times pieced, and a woman's crupper of velour, which have two letters for a name fairly set down in studs, and hidden there pieced with pack thread.
Who comes with him?
Oh, sir, his lackey, for all the world caparisoned like the horse, with a linen stock on one leg and a kersey boot hose on the other, gartered with a red and blue list, an old hat, and the human of 40 fancies pricked in for a feather. A monster, a very monster in a panel, and not like a Christian footboy or a gentleman's lackey.
I'm glad he's come, howsoe'er he comes.
Where be these gallants? Who's at home?
You are welcome, sir.
And yet I come not well?
Not so well apparelled as I wish you were.
But where is Kate? Where is my lovely bride? How doth my father? Gentles, methinks you frown. And wherefore gaze this goodly company as if they saw some wondrous monument, some comet or unusual prodigy?
Why, sir, you know this is your wedding day. Fie, doff this habit. Shame to your estate and eyesore to our solemn festival.
Suffice it, I am come to keep my word.
But where is Kate? I stayed so long with her the morning wear, since I'm aware of church.
See not your bride in these unreverent robes. Go to my chamber, put on clothes of mine.
Not I, believe me, thus I'll visit her.
But thus I trust you will not marry her.
Good sooth, even thus, that they are done with words. To me she's married, not until my clothes. But what a fool am I to chat with you, and I shall bid good morrow to my bride and seal the title with a lovely kiss.
Let's after him and see the event of this.
Signor Gremio, came you from the church?
As willingly as e'er I came from school.
And is the bride and bridegroom coming home?
Bridegroom, say you, it is a groom indeed, a grumbling groom, and that the girl shall find.
Cursed than she? Why, it is impossible.
Why, it's a devil, a very fiend.
Well, she's a devil, the devil's damned.
She's a lamb, a dove, a fool to him. I tell you, Sir Lucentio, when the priest should ask if Catherine should be his wife, "Aye, by God's wounds," quoth he, and swore so loud that all amazed the priest let fall the book, and as he stooped again to take it up, this mad-brained bridegroom took him such a cuff that down fell priest and book and book and priest. "Now take them up," quoth he, "if any list."
What said the wench when he arose again?
Trembled and shook, for why he stamped and swore as if the vicar meant to cozen him. And after many ceremonies done, he calls for wine. "A health," quoth he, as if he'd been aboard carousing to his mates after a storm. Quaffed off the muscadel and threw the sops all in the sexton's face. This done, he took the bride about the neck and kissed her lips with such a clamorous smack that at the parting all the church did echo. And I, seeing this, came thence for very shame. And after me I know the rout is coming. Such a mad marriage never was before. Hark, hark, I hear the minstrels play.
Gentlemen and friends, I thank you for your patience. I know you think to dine with me today and have prepared great store of wedding cheer. But so it is, my haste doth call me hence, and therefore me to take my leave.
Oh, what? You will away tonight.
I will away today, before night.
No wonder.
If you knew my business, you would entreat me rather go than stay. And honest company, I thank you all that have beheld me give away myself to this most patient, sweet, and virtuous wife. Dine with my father, drink a health to me, for I must hence and farewell to you all.
Well, let us entreat you stay till after dinner.
It may not be.
Well, let me entreat you.
It cannot be.
Let me entreat you.
I am content.
Are you content to stay?
I am content you shall entreat me stay, yet not stay. Entreat me how you can.
Now, if you love me, stay.
Grumio.
What?
My horse.
Why, sir, they be ready. The oats have eaten the horses. Nay, then, do what thou canst. I will not go today. No, nor tomorrow. Not till I please myself. The door is open, sir. There lies your way. You may be jogging whilst your boots are green. For me, I'm not to be gone till I please myself. Tis like you from a jolly surly groom that take it on you at the first old round gate.
Okay, content thee, pretty, be not angry.
I will be angry. What hast thou to do? Father, be quiet. He shall stay at my leisure.
Aye, marry, sir. Now it begins to work.
Gentlemen, forward to the bridal dinner. I see a woman may be made a fool if she had not a spirit to resist.
They shall go forward, Kate, at thy command. Obey the bride, you that attend on her. Go to the feast, revel and domineer. Carouse full measure to her maidenhead. Be mad and merry or go hang yourself. But for my one cake she must be me. Nay, look what they can stab the spine of fret. I will be master of what is mine own. She is my goods, my chattels. She is my house, my household stuff, my field, my barn, my horse, my ox, my ass, my anything. And there she stands. Touch whosoever dares! I'll bring my match on the proudest he that starts my way in plateau. I'll brew you,
sir!
We are beset with thieves! All forth thy weapons!
Oh!
Risk of our mistress, there be a man! Fear not, sweet wench, they will not harm thee, Kate. I'll buckler thee against Amelia!
Let them go. A couple of quiet ones.
Fire on all tired jades and all mad masters and all foul ways. Was ever man so beaten? Was ever man so rage? Was ever man so weary?
Hello, dear Curtis!
Who is it that calls so coldly?
A piece of ice of our good Curtis.
Is me master and his wife coming, Grumio?
Aye, Curtis, I'm there for fire cast on no wall.
Already?
Call Port Nathaniel, Joseph, Nicholas, Philip, Walter, Sugarsop, and the rest. Are they all ready?
What? No, we have the fire! Hold on, stand up to take my horse!
Port got splashed in silence.
Yes, Gregory Nathaniel, Philip!
Here, sir. You loggerheaded and unpolished grooms. What? No attendance, no regard, no duty? Where's the foolish knave I sent before?
Here, sir, and as foolish as I was before.
You peasant. Swain. You horse and malt-horse drudge. Did I not bid thee meet me in the park and bring along these rascal knaves with thee?
Go, rascals, go and fetch my supper in!
Where is the life? Sit down, Kate, and welcome. Food.
Why won't I say?
My good sweet Kate, be merry. Off with my boots, you rogue, you villain wench. It was a friar of orders gray, as he forth walked.
Out, you rogue, you pluck my foot out, I take that out!
And the plucking of the other. Be merry, Kate. Some water?
Water!
Where's my spaniel Troilus?
Troilus!
Where are my slippers?
Slippers!
Shall I have some water?
Water!
Come, Kate, and wash, and welcome heartily. Oh, son villain, will you let it fall?
Patience, I pray you, 'twas a fault unwilling.
A whoresome, beetle-headed, flappy-haired knave. Come, Kate, sit down. I know you have a stomach. Will you give thanks, sweet Kate, or else shall I? What's this? Mutton?
Aye.
Who brought it?
Aye.
'Tis burnt. And so is all the meat. Dogs are these. Where is the rascal cook? How durst you, villain, spring it from the dresser and serve it thus to me that love it not? Here, take it, you tempters, have a door! Jove, there's an unmanned slave. What do you grumble at me with? You straight!
I pray you, husband, be not so disquiet. The meat was well if you were so contented.
I tell thee, Kate, was burnt and dried away, and I expressly am forbid to touch it, for it engenders choler, planteth anger. And better twere that both of us did fast. Oh. Since of ourselves are choleric, and feed it with such over-roasted flesh. Be patient. Tomorrow shall be mended. And for this night, we'll fast for company. Come, I will bring thee to the bridal chamber. Begun my reign, and 'tis my hope to end successfully. My falcon now is sharp and passing empty, and till she stoop, she must not be full gorged. She ate no meat today, nor none shall eat. Last night she slept not, nor tonight she shall not. As with the meat, some undeserved fault I'll find about the making of the bed. And here I'll fling the pillow, there the bolster, this way the coverlet, another way the sheets. Aye, and amid this hurly, I intend that all is done in reverent care of her. And in conclusion, she shall watch all night. And if she chance to nod, I'll rail and brawl, and with the clamour keep her still awake. This is the way to kill a wife with kindness, and thus I'll curb her mad and headstrong humour. He that knows better how to tame a shrew, now let him speak. 'Tis charity to show.
What? Did he marry me to famish me? Beggars that come into my father's door upon entreaty have a present alms. But I, who never knew how to entreat, nor never needed that I should entreat, am starved for meat, giddy for lack of sleep, with oaths kept waking and with brawling fed. And that which spites me more than all these wants, he does it under name of perfect love.
What, sweeting, all a mort?
Mistress, what cheer?
Faith, as cold as can be.
Pluck up thy spirits, look cheerfully upon me. Here, love, thou seest how diligent I am to dress thy meat myself and bring it thee. I'm sure, sweet Kate, such kindness merits thanks. What, not a word? Nay, then thou lovest it not. Here, take away the dish.
I pray you let it stand.
The poorest service is repaid with thanks, and so shall mine be ere you touch the meat.
I thank you, sir.
Much good do it unto thy gentle heart. And now, my honey love, we will return unto thy father's house and revel it as bravely as the best, with silken coats and caps and golden rings, with ruffs and cuffs and fardingales and things, with scars and fans and double change of bravery, with amber bracelets, beads, and all this knavery. What, hast thou dined?
No.
The tailor stays thy leisure to deck thy body with his ruffling treasure. Come, tailor, let's see these ornaments.
Here is the cap your worship did bespeak.
Why, this was moulded on a porringer.
Huh?
A velvet dish. Fie, fie, it is lewd and filthy.
Oh.
Why, it is a collar, a walnut shell, a neck, a toy, a trick, a baby's cap. Away with it, let's have a bigger.
I have no bigger. This to fit the time, and gentlewomen wear such caps as these.
When you are gentle, you shall have one too, and not till then.
That will not be in haste.
Why, sir, I trust I may have leave to speak, and speak I will. I am no child, no babe. Your betters have endured me to say my mind, and if you cannot, best you stop your ears. My tongue will tell the anger of my heart, or else my heart concealing it will break. And rather than it shall, I will be free even to the uttermost as I please in words.
Why, thou sayst true, it is a paltry cap. A custard coffin, a bauble, a silken pie. I love thee well, and if thou likest it not.
Love me or love me not, I like the cap, and it I will have, or I will have none. Oh!
The gown? Come, tailor, let's see it. Oh, mercy God, what masking stuff is here. Was this a sleeve? This is like a demi-cannon. What, up and down, carved like an apple tart? His snip and nip and cut and slish and slash like to a censor in a barber's shop? Why, what a devil's name, tailor, calls out this?
See, she's like to have neither cap nor gown.
Well, come, my Kate. We will unto thy father's, even in these honest, mean habiliments. Let's see. I think 'tis now some 7 o'clock, and well, we may be there by dinner time.
I dare assure you, sir, it is almost 2, and will be supper time ere we come there.
It shall be 7 ere I go to horse. Look, what I speak, or do, or think to do, you are still crossing it. Sir, let alone, I will not go today, and ere I do, it shall be what o'clock I say it is.
Why, so this gallant will command the sun.
Come on, a God's name, once more unto our fathers. Good Lord, how bright and goodly shines the moon.
The moon? The sun? It is not moonlight now.
I say it is the moon that shines so bright.
I know, it is the sun that shines so bright.
Now by my mother's son, and that's myself. It shall be moon, or star, or what I list, or ere I journey to your father's house. Go on, fetch our horses back again, evermore. Cross and cross, nothing but cross.
Forward, I pray, since we have come so far. And be it moon, or sun, or what you please. And if you please to call it a rush candle, henceforth, I vow, it shall be so for me.
I say it is the moon.
I know it is the moon.
May then your light is the blessed sun.
Thank God be blessed, it is the blessed sun. But, sun, it is not when you say it is not. And the moon changes even as your mind. What you will have it named, even that it is. And so it shall be so for Catherine.
Petruchio, go thy ways. The field is won.
Soft, company is coming here.
Fair sir, and you, my merry mistress. My name is called Vincentio, my dwelling Pisa, and I am bound to Padua, there to visit a son of mine, which long I have not seen.
Good morrow, gentle mistress.
Mistress?
Tell me, sweet Kate, and tell me truly too, has I beheld a fresher gentlewoman? Sweet Kate, embrace her for her beauty's sake.
Young, budding virgin.
Virgin?
Fair and fresh and sweet. Whither away, or where is thy abode? Happy the parents of so fair a child. Happier the man whom favorable stars allot thee for his lovely bedfellow.
Come now, Kate, I hope thou art not mad.
The
this is a man. Old, wrinkled, faded, withered, and not a maiden, as thou says he is.
Pardon, old father, my mistaking eyes, that have been so bedazzled with the sun, that everything I look on seemeth green. Now I perceive thou art a reverend father. Pardon, I pray thee, for my mad mistaking.
Forward, good grandsire, we shall be joyful of thy company.
Husband, let's follow.
First kiss me, Kate, and then we will.
What, in the midst of the street?
What? Art thou ashamed of me?
No, sir, God forbid, but I'm ashamed to kiss.
Why then, let's home again. Come, sir, let's away.
Nay, I will give thee a kiss. Now, pray thee, love, stay.
Is not this well? Come, my sweet Kate, better once than never, for never too late.
At last, though long, our jarring notes agree. And time it is when raging war is done to smile at scapes and perils overblown. Brother Petruchio, Sister Katharina, and thou, Hortensio, with thy loving widow, feast with the best and welcome to my house. My banquet is to close our stomachs up after our great good cheer. Pray you sit down, for now we sit to chat as well as eat.
Nothing but sit.
You are affords this kindness, son Petruchio.
Glad you are affords nothing but what is kind.
Both our sakes, I would that word were true.
Now for my life, Hortensio fears his widow.
They never trust me if I fear the beard.
You are very sensible, and yet you'll miss my sense. I mean, Hortensio fears you.
He that is giddy thinks the world turns round.
Round, they reply.
Mistress, how mean you that?
Thus I conceive by him.
Conceived by me? That's Hortensio there.
My widow says thus she conceives. Her tail.
Oh, very well, then. Kiss him for that.
He that is giddy thinks the world turns round. I pray you tell me what you meant by that.
Your husband, being troubled of a shrew, measures my husband's sorrow by his woe. And now you know why I mean.
A very mean meaning.
Right, I mean you.
And I am mean indeed, respecting you.
Oh, I can't.
100 marks, my cake.
Who's my office?
Spoke like an officer. I told you that. Signor Premier. The bird you aimed at, though you hit her not. Therefore, a health to all that shot and missed.
It is well, sir, that you aren't it for yourself. It is thought your deer does hold you at bay.
Oh, Petruchio, Petranio hits you now.
Thank you for that, dear Petranio.
Confess, have they not hit you here? It has a little galled me, I confess. But if the jest did glance away from me to send to one, it maimed you to act.
Now, in good sadness, son Petruchio, I think thou hast the veriest shrew of all.
Well, I say no. And for assurance, let each one send unto his wife. And he whose wife is most obedient to come at first when he does send for her shall win the wager which we will propose.
Oh, content. What's the wager?
20 crowns.
20 crowns. I'll wager so much upon my hawk or hound, but 20 times as much upon my wife.
100, then.
Content. The match is done. Who shall begin?
That I'm. Go, Biondello. Bid your mistress come to me.
I'll go.
Son, I'll be your half, Bianca comes.
I'll have no halves. I'll bear it all myself. How now? What news?
Sir, my mistress sends you word that she is busy and she cannot come.
How? She's busy and she cannot come. Is that an answer?
And a kind one, too. Pray God, sir, your wife send you not worse.
I hope better.
Sir Biondello, go and entreat my wife to come to me forthwith.
Entreat? Now she must needs come.
Oh, I'm afraid, sir, do what you can. Yours will not be entreated. Where's my wife?
She says you have some goodly jest in hand. She will not come. She bids you come to her.
Oh, worse and worse. She will not come. Oh, vile, intolerable, not to be endured. Signor Grumio, go to thy mistress. Say, I command her come to me.
I know her answer.
What?
She will not.
The fouler fortune mine. And there an end. But late I lay, gone with yesterday.
What is your will, sir, that you send for me?
By my holiday.
Where is your sister and Hortensio's wife?
They sent conferring by the parlor fire.
Go fetch them hither. If they deny to come, swinge with them soundly forth until their husbands are aware as they about it straight.
Here's a wonder, if you talk of a wonder.
So it is. I wonder what it bodes.
Married peace it bodes. And love. And quiet life. Unlawful rule and right supremacy. In short, what not that's sweet and happy.
Now fare before thee, good Petruchio. The wager thou hast won, and I will add unto their losses 20,000 crowns. Oh, another dowry to another daughter. For she is changed as she had never been.
Nay, I will win the wager better yet, and show more sign of her obedience, her new-built virtue and obedience. See where she comes, and brings your flowered wives as prisoners to her womanly persuasion. Catherine, that cap of yours becomes you not. Off with the bauble, throw it underfoot.
Oh, Lord, let me never have a cause to sigh till I be brought to such a silly pass.
Catherine, I charge thee, tell these headstrong women what duty they do owe their lords and husbands.
Come, come, you're mocking. We will have no telling.
Come on, I say, and first begin with her.
She shall not.
Oh, yes, she shall, and first begin with her.
Fie. Fie. Unknit that threatening, unkind brow, and dart not scornful glances from those eyes to wound thy lord, thy king, thy governor. It blots thy beauty as frosts do bite the meads. Confounds thy fame as whirlwinds shake fair buds, and in no sense is neat or amiable. A woman moved is like a fountain troubled, muddy, ill-seeming, thick, bereft of beauty, and while it is so, none so dry or thirsty will deign to sip or touch one drop of it. Thy husband is thy lord, thy life, thy keeper, thy head, thy sovereign, one that cares for thee, and for thy maintenance commits his body to painful labor both by sea and land, to watch the night in storms, the day in cold, whilst thou liest warm at home, secure and safe, and craves no other tribute at thy hands but love, fair looks, and true obedience. Too little payment for so great a debt. Such duty as the subject owes the prince, even such a woman oweth to her husband. And when she is froward, peevish, sullen, sour, and not obedient to his honest will, what is she but a foul contending rebel and graceless traitor to her loving lord? I am ashamed that women are so simple to offer war where they should kneel for peace, or seek for rule, supremacy, and sway when they are bound to serve, love, and obey. Why are our bodies soft and weak and smooth, unapt to toil and trouble in the world, but that our soft conditions and our hearts should well agree with our external parts? Come, come, you froward and unable worms. My mind hath been as big as one of yours. My heart as great, my reason happily more, to bandy word for word and frown for frown. But now I see our lances are but straws, our strength as weak, our weakness past compare, that seeming to be most which we indeed least are. Then veil your stomachs, for it is no good, and place your hands below your husband's foot, in token of which duty, if he please, my hand is ready. May it do him ease.
Why, there's a wench. Come and kiss me, Kate.
We'll go thy ways, old lad, for thou should have
it. It is a good hearing when children are toward.
But a harsh hearing when women are froward.
Come, Kate, we'll to bed. We three are married, but you two are sped. 'Tis I won the wager, though you hit the white. And being a winner, God give you good night.